Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But we were talking about Mark Hamby, Dr. Hamby, and I don't believe he's a false prophet, or I'm not, but I am saying that he got a word that, that was from heaven.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that the second word might be a little bit, you know, different. And I had a few second words before. You ever had a second word before?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely.
I've had
yeah. yeah, you pull, it's like a first word is like, you can like, man, and you just build, and you got this cookie cutter shape like the first word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get ready to whack the next piece of cookie dough and go, I got this puppy. Bam. And it just like, what happened? It didn't work. It was because mm-hmm. it's a proceeding word.
Yeah.
It's a proceeding word. It's fresh. And, but the word that it's amazing is, he wrote it out in a book called We Have Not Many Fathers. And that's what, in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, Paul talks about it. The Apostle Paul is, we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. For I am your father in Christ Jesus. And the revelation just builds. And mm-hmm. that even Jesus didn't even start his own ministry until his father publicly affirmed him, their relationship and his pleasure with him. Two very important things. This is my son who's in good standing with me. This is right. This is my son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm. Listen to him. And then, you know, then you need to, that's a spiritual father going, you need to hear what he's saying. Have you been over to his ministry? Have you shown up at his church? You know, that type of thing. And the reason why is because God knew what Jesus would do. And when Paul was talking about it, he knew what Timothy would do. Because, you know, and then Jesus says, imitate me. What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father told him to do.
Yeah.
You know, and what did Paul? Paul said, imitate me. What did Timothy do? He did what Paul taught him to do, because he said, go and let them know about the pattern I teach everywhere in every church. Mm. And there's a lot to that. But in this revelation, it's about family and father. It's just very powerful. But one thing that I just heard recently, I think John and I heard him saying last night, was, and he's kind of, he's tapping into the sounds of heaven that we've been tapping into. It looks like for some time we've been tapping into it and trying to hear clearly about, you know, what God is doing in this generation. And it was pretty, it was a lot of harmony and kind of hearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And one specific thing is that people took that revelation and they put it in the context of the old wineskin. They took the original revelation that it's father, son, order in the church from the beginning. You know, it's my son, Adam, and then my son, second Adam. Jesus, the second Adam. And that, and you can take what God's doing and you can try to stick it into your cookie cutter that was the first word, you know, the what was working for you in the past,
right,
and destroy them both. Because a new revelation, a new wine requires a new wineskin. You got to be willing to shed off the old skin. You got to, and the thing about it is, if we're not willing to shed it off, then it's not God anyway. Because what we're saying is, that's mine,
right?
That's mine. I can't let it go. And it's like, really? Then that wasn't God all this time? All this time that you've been preaching at me and teaching at me and telling me we need to do this and do that and all that, you're not willing to let it go?
Right.
This is your kingdom. This is not God's kingdom then. Mm. Right? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, because if you're following God, you just want to go wherever the cloud is moving.
And he loves to say, take the boy to the top of Mount Moriah. Didn't we do that four times? Have we done that four times already? And you kind of give that look to everybody and go, oh, he's going to Mount Moriah. We don't know if we're going to come back with the boy or not, but praise God, he's going to, you know.
Going to the mountain.
And that boy better hope he hears from God. Right?
Exactly.
Never a son was more glad than his son that he heard from the Lord. He had a father that could hear from God, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Did you hear God? Have you heard a word yet? No, not yet. Just tie your hands up and get it on top of the wood. Dear God, talk to my dad. the church is the church is the church, I mean, which is people. The church is mm-hmm. people. If you don't know this, it's probably a shocker. You can go back and listen to hold on for a moment. If you haven't heard this, that the church is actually people. It's not a building. Brace yourself for this. And just pause for a moment and just pause just to say, okay, just you know, take what you thought it was and put it aside in a safe place because you have to go grab it again and go, oh, my goodness. And you can pull it back out again and look at it. But just put it there and then step outside of the 4.5% of the world's population, America, and then look around the world and say, well, if this thing that I have in this secure box is the church, then what do they have? Because all they have is an oak tree. Mm. You know, all they have is a cave.
Yeah.
All they have is this back area.
Mm-hmm.
All they have is this place where they throw a blanket over their heads when they gather so nobody can see them, and they whisper when they talk, and they put guards outside wherever they're at so they don't hear, people don't hear. I mean, if this crystal cathedral that I got locked out of my box is the church, what do they have?
Mm.
Or the question is, if that's the church, 95% of the world, right, population, if that's the church, then what is this? And I love the way that if you have a, this is how he gave the analogy, Dr. Hamby did, about imagine a cannonball or a cannon that was on a warship, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and it drops down in the ocean. And you know, Pat and I had a privilege to go down diving and seeing some things, what happens in that nature. We have yet to get John underwater.
No, not yet.
It was a very short baptism.
When we go to Mexico, maybe.
We ain't going there unless we could. It might be.
I know that's what.
Are
I
you?
Say.
You're probably hearing that. I think didn't somebody show up with a word at your home with that to go to Mexico?
Oh yeah.
No, it was just buy my truck. It was go to Mexico. And so once it's down there for a long time, all these barnacles and all this growth and it just starts piling up. You have one layer of this barnacles and stuff that gets on
coral,
and it attaches itself to the cannon. And that may die off or whatever, but then another layer of coral and barnacles will get on top of that one.
Mm.
And then it would just builds over the years. So finally you got this big ball of barnacle and coral, and you pass over it, you know, as a diver or something, you're thinking, wow. But somebody who understands how things work, they say, you know, there might be something there other than what you're looking at. And so when they bring this big, huge, what they perceive to be just might be the church. I mean, it might be a cannon. You know, they pull it up and it's just one big wad of whatever that is that attached itself over the seasons to the cannon. Then they start cleaning it up. There could be treasure in there. We need to find out what's really it, because what we're looking at, it's just stuff that attached itself to the original thing, but the original thing is still there. We just got to find the simplicity of the church. We got to find the church again. Where is the church in all of this? And besides, all this stuff costs money, and it costs time, and it costs effort, and it costs energy. And we need to say, you know, where is the temple? Where is the building of God? Where is, you know, and then we got to ask that question, you know, where is the cannon? We're digging and we're chipping. We're trying to be careful. Because we don't want to hurt the church. I mean, we don't want to hurt the cannon because the cannon's important, but we got to get all this other stuff off. So you got to be real careful when you're trying to separate, you know, the what's attached itself to the church from the church, which is the body of Christ. And how you got to look at it. And when you find out, when you find the cannon, it's a lot smaller than it was to begin with, but it is the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not all this stuff, all this burden and everything. Its purpose is revealed. And when the church is all that, we get rid of all this stuff. And I think we're about to go through a purging season that's going to begin to just cause these things to fall off. And a lot of things that you've lived your life for. I mean, you lived your life for, that you brought people to, that you promoted, that you paid for, that you took pledges for, that you talked about, that you bought little lapel pins and gave to everybody for, and all this different stuff, that stuff might not make it. But it's okay if it's not the church, isn't it? It's okay.
That's right.
It's okay, because all you want is the church. You don't want anything extra. Because when the churches start being the church, this is what we're called to do. Okay, second brace. Second brace, okay. Don't forget you got the other thing locked up safe so you can grab it out and look at it and go, okay, I see this thing. I didn't leave it. It's still there. This is what we're supposed to do as the church, is that the leaders in the church are supposed to look at the believers in the church and see the call of God on their life and the giftings in their life and the character that needs working on and the need to be able to be taught the things and the commands of God and to be able to walk up and mature the body so that they can do the work that they're called to do. We're supposed to actually seek out those who don't know God, preach the gospel that they could be saved, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach them to the teachings of Jesus so they can obey them so that they are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Then we're to send them out into the world like sheep amongst wolves, telling them to be as wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and stay related to them as the family we are in the body of Christ. And they are to be accountable as they go out, just like Paul and Barnabas came back and reported to their church in Antioch of all the things that they were doing. And the kingdom advances when we do this. Mm. Is this dangerous? It always has been. It's always been dangerous. Jesus said, look out, watch out for men, right?
That's right.
And he said, when they arrest you. You know, when they arrest you. I mean, we're so got so many barnacles on us and so many things we've attached to ourselves that when things that Jesus said would happen, we don't have a grid for it. Mm. And we begin to judge the very fruit of what happens when somebody follows God and does what Jesus says. Because we can't even see the canon. Mm-hmm. We can't even see it. And so we're thinking, oh my goodness, people are talking bad about him or talking bad about her. That must mean that they're not of God. It's like, I know you're probably part of the 82% that hadn't read your Bible lately. But don't start in Genesis, swing on up and start in the gospel, start in Matthew. Matter of fact, start in John and then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to soak that and realize that that's going to happen. We're going to be treated at least the greatest amount of treatment that we can expect that's good from the world is up until how Jesus was treated. We're not going to be treated any better than Jesus was treated, right? A student will not be treated better than his teacher. And so, let's say, okay, he was liked by some, hated by others, betrayed by many, and beat, lied on, and crucified, right? Mm. And so it just wasn't necessarily, you know, but look what happened. It was awesome. And so I want to encourage you to become that person who finds the kingdom of God or finds, it's like a man that finds a treasure. He finds a cannon buried in a field, but he don't know it's a cannon yet. It's all filled with barnacles and stuff. But you're hearing what I'm saying and it's bearing witness to you. And you're ready just to clean your cannon. You're ready to go through the process of separating what is of God and what's of man. Because first of all, you know, what's of man is not going to stand. It's all going to be tested by fire. And I think the fire is coming now. It's going to separate all this stuff, the wheat. It's going to separate the hay, wood, and stubble from the true work of God. Mm-hmm. And I always said, Lord, take it. I'm tired. Take the hay, wood, and stubble. If I'm spending my energy and my time on hay, wood, and stubble, dear Jesus, please, I am too tired right now. I want it to be meaningful. I want the work to be lasting. And I've always prayed that the Lord would take that away now instead of just building, you know, something else.
A bigger bonfire.
Yeah, a bigger bonfire. And so in the context of that, just begin to think. And let me tell you something, that the church is the body of Christ. Walking in obedience to Jesus is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It is an amazing thing. It is... It's what you were created for. It's your destiny. And religion and barnacles and coral things that grow on that is not. That's not. And as men, we have a tendency to allow things to attach itself to the original intent of what we were doing. And we can go back and just constantly, which time of fasting and prayer and just cleansing that out of our life and being willing to let things go. And that's how you know if you're not willing to let it go, then you're not even holding it. It's holding you. It's holding you. And I think a separation's coming. So Hamby was talking about this and about this. I don't know if I'm all in what I was kind of hearing, but I understood the gist of, I'm for the gist of what he's saying is that, you know, it's time for us to get back to what the Word of God says. And it says what it says. And if, and it's this sort of like this, imagine this, this book of laws that says the speed limit is this, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And in that, there's also a particular law called grace and called mercy. And that when you understand how these things coexist, that the expectations of God, the love of God, the lavished grace upon our lives, and the mercies of God, because grace is not getting, is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve, mm-hmm. which means when we're walking with God in obedience to God and looking at his commands, this book of laws, looking at his commands, that we understand that, you know, we're not going to be perfect at it. But we're not going to avoid looking at it just because we're not perfect at it, because he has all the grace and mercy I need in my time of need, and I can approach the throne of grace with boldness because he can empathize with what I'm going through right here, and he will empower me if I abide with him to walk in his word. Mm-hmm. Hide his word in my heart and begin to just do, you know, what he says. And he says very specifically, very, very specifically through James, is that, and you'll be blessed in all that you do. Mm-hmm. He said, don't, you know, many people are merely deceived. These are the people that look at God's word and they don't do what it says. Mm-hmm. But if you look at God's word intently and study it and do what it says, he says, you'll be blessed in all you do. We need to go dig for this treasure. Dig, realize this is what I'm telling you, that it's the kingdom of God. And imagine it buried in a field. Everything that you're doing that's not of God, you know, just sell it, get rid of it, and go and buy that entire field and say, I'm going to stay here till we whittle this cannon out, because this generation is going to know God, and God's name is going to be glorified in the earth, and it's going to be a great outpouring in this day that's going to bring in a great harvest for the next generation.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.